Sometimes I really don't know. I may have a message prepared, but I don't really know what I'm going to preach until minutes before we start, and sometimes not at all. Sometimes all I get is a word, and the Lord says, go there. And I go there, and then it just opens right up from there. But that's the way it is in the Spirit. You know, Jesus said, it's like this. It's, you know, the wind comes from where you don't know it's coming from. Amen. The wind just shows up all of a sudden. It begins to blow, and you see the effects of it. You might hear the wind, feel the wind, and see the effects of it. But you don't know where it came from or where it's going. And so it is those who are born of the Spirit, those who are in Christ. We are to be yielded vessels to allow God to use us. It's when we are in agreement with the Holy Spirit where miracles take place. It's when we agree with Him and say yes to His way and don't insist that we have it our way. Only because it's safe to have it our way. At least it only seems to be safe in our own minds, in our own unbelief. Do we not struggle with unbelief with this at times where you just want to have it figured out and predictable and on paper? I know some of you are saying, yeah. You're not saying it outwardly, but inwardly you're saying, yeah, that's me. And so I don't want to ever get into a place where we are stuck in a holding pattern of if you will, ritualism and predictability in the church, because too many have got stuck in that place and they have lost Jesus somewhere in that mess. How many know Jesus can be here with us as we gather? He's here, but we can completely miss Him. He can be walking your way and you can completely miss Him because you've allowed other things to come in and interfere and distract your mind. Isn't it interesting that it's usually at a very pivotal time when the Spirit of God is really moving in a service, and all of a sudden half a dozen people need to get up and walk out and go to the bathroom, or the baby starts screaming or whatever. Something goes on to distract what the Spirit of God wants to do. Has anybody ever experienced that? Now, I didn't see anybody walk out, so I'm not picking on anybody if you walked out today. But I want us to be aware that we need to be respectful of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. I am not one of these, be respectful of the house of God. We're respectful of the presence. Amen? It's His presence that we are respecting. So we honor God by our conduct, even when we come together. We are free people. We're not in bondage. We are a free people. But with freedom comes responsibility. Amen. Amen? Amen? Responsible freedom. That means I have the liberty to do whatever I want. I can go to any church I want. I can hang out with any people I want. But the real question is this what God called me to do? I have people that get disgruntled because of something that I said, or they misunderstood something. Maybe you've had the same thing happen to you. They get mad and they walk out of your life. Well, did God tell them to walk out of your life? Did God reassign that person? Or are you just having an emotional fit and you allow the enemy to get into your head to mess it up and scramble things up there and magnify something that's really nothing? So that He can get you out of your assignment. Because when you're out of your assignment, you're vulnerable to the enemy. The safest place for all of us is in the will of God.
Yes.
That's where we need to be. Even, hello, when it's not always feeling good.
Amen.
When it's not always comfortable. The question is this my assignment? I want to tell you, there's lots of times when I'm not feeling good and I'm not comfortable. But I have to ask the question, Father, is this where You want me? Sometimes I just need a reminder. And if this is where You want me, this is where I'm going to be. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We need to ask ourselves the same question, because people, they allow the enemy to get into their head and lie to them and to get them out of their assignment through offense. Get you offended. That's what He's going to try to do. I don't like the way so-and-so looked at me. Well, they didn't even shake my hand. And so we've got to As Larry was talking about the cabal and the spirits, he was talking about the spirit of Cain. And it's a gypsy spirit in the church of just floating around here and there and going there. And I'll go there for a while, I'll go there for a while. I'll go to this meeting, I'll go to that meeting. And they never get planted in their assignment. God has an assignment for you. God has a body of believers that he wants you to connect with. Why? Because unless we pull together and we work together as a team, we're not going to be effective. So he's going to constantly try to pull at the fabric, and he'll have a disgruntled person try to get you to agree with them and pick up their offense too. I'm offended, and so I'm going to get as many people offended with me as possible. Hello. Question is, did God call you to do that? Is that the way God is? Is that the way of the Lord? No, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that's called sowing discord among brethren. And that's bad, bad, bad. It's causing division. It's causing dissension. But there's times when we don't know what God is asking us to do until the time, the spontaneity, right? The time of that assignment. Sometimes he'll make it clear when you're there. You may be just going along your life as usual, and all of a sudden the Lord interrupts. And you have a divine encounter, or a divine appointment, or a word, or a song, or you meet somebody that you're supposed to minister to, and you hadn't even planned it. You didn't know anything about it.
That's right.
So it is those who are led by the Spirit. So we also need to, as a church body, as we gather, to also remain flexible to what God wants to do, you know, continue in the freedom that we have, so that it doesn't become controlled, all right? Because a controlling spirit is really a spirit of fear. When we feel like we're losing control, we have to control everything and everybody around us, lest they should take advantage of us. People who are operating in fear, if they feel somebody's out to get them, then they will go out to get them first. And they will manipulate people. They'll manipulate their minds to get them to believe a lie that sometimes they have believed for so long that it has become truth to them, even though initially they knew it was a lie. How many know that you can talk yourself into believing a lie? You can convince yourself that a lie is true. It's getting quiet. Most of you are saying, yeah. Folks, we got to get over this, you know, this is not for the faint of heart.
Amen.
We got to get over this comfort Christianity.
Amen.
The feel good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I love the presence of the Lord, and that's the kind of feel good I like.
Yes.
I love his presence. He's my pleasure. He's my joy.
Amen.
But regardless of whether it's pleasurable or not, the real question is, am I in my assignment? Am I in the will of God? Is this the will of God for my life? A lot of folks seem to think that when things get difficult or things don't go the way that they think it should go, that can't be the will of God. Have you ever felt that way? We ask that question, God, is this your will? Because if it's your will, everything should be going my way. Everything should be smooth and easy. Not as long as we're in this battle, it's not going to be smooth and easy. Now, if you want to collaborate and compromise with your enemy, he can make sure that you're nice and comfortable. He'll make you comfortable. He'll make you very comfortable. He'll make you so comfortable that you'll just fall asleep spiritually. He'll lull you to sleep. Little by little, the light begins to go out. You're just kind of basking in that nice warm bath water of deception. And just feel good Christianity. And well, if it don't feel good here, I'm going to go over there where it feels good. And if it don't feel good there, I'll go over here where it feels good. And you're running around feeling good.
Physically.
But they're not getting any roots. They're not growing. They're not becoming strong. They're not being honed by the body of Christ. They're not being honed by brothers and sisters that sometimes will oppose you, that sometimes won't agree with you, believe it or not, that sometimes may step on your toes, not necessarily on purpose, but necessarily it happens, doesn't it? But that is part of training in righteousness. That is part of developing as a person. You cannot run away from the tests that God allows in your life. Now you can run all you want, but you're going to end up like Cain, just a wanderer, and never really producing the fruit that God has for you, that God desires of you. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to read to you today from the Amplified Bible, okay? Now I use this sometimes as the Amplified Bible as an aid to what I'm using the King James or the New King James, but I want you just to please listen and don't try to follow along in your Bible, okay? Because it might mess you up unless you got one too. But John chapter 15, listen to what the Lord said. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away. That means he trims off or takes away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. Has anybody ever had the pruning shears applied? When you know the Lord is pruning us off ourselves, primarily. All about me. He's got to prune you off you. He got to cut all that off. He's getting rid of the non-essentials. He's getting rid of the sucker branches from your life. The things that may not be a sin, but they are a hindrance. They are blocking the flow of God's anointing in your life. God wants you to bear much fruit. And so you've got to be willing to place yourself under His authority and under His dealings so that God can work in you. Amen? And prepare you as a vessel that's going to bear much fruit and be powerful for Him. Don't run away from the pruning shears. What does pruning do? It causes what's there to go into the sap. It draws from the sap. Amen? From the life. Difficulties in our lives are good for us because they cause us, or they should cause us, to go deeper into God so that we might become more like Him. And He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already, He's talking to His disciples, because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in or being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much or abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches, listen, are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you live in me, he's talking to his disciples, folks. Are we not also disciples of Christ?
Yes.
If you live in me, abide vitally united in me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. You see a connection there to abiding in him and having prayers answered too?
Yeah.
When you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love, continue in his love with me. And if you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in His love. Now, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be a full measure and complete and overflowing. It's impossible for us to please God apart from faith. Faith is trusting in Him. Faith is you and I knowing and believing that God is my all-sufficiency. He is the source of my life. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. You can do a lot of things in the natural. You can do a lot of, if you will, church things, religious things in the natural, and yet produce no fruit. Many people are busy with all kinds of activity, church activity, but they're not really being fruitful because something vital has been lost, and that is Jesus, the connection to Jesus, the walk with Jesus, the abiding in Jesus, the worshiping of Jesus. Amen. The heart of God. Hallelujah. It amazes me, but there are, you know, we know this morning there's people meeting all over this nation and all over the world, but all over this nation. Probably millions of people in churches throughout this nation this morning. They're coming in to get a few crumbs, to come in and get a snack. And that is their Christian experience for the rest of their week. They live off the crumbs of yesterday. They are not living in victory. They're not abiding in Him who is life, and therefore there's no fruit of life in their life. There's no evidence of the reality of Jesus Christ. There's no evidence of the kingdom reign of Christ in them. Why? Because there is no continuing in Him. Do you see that we've got to get beyond, amen, just doing a thing for God, to having intimacy with God, amen, to walking in the Spirit? Yes. When we talk about communion, what are we saying? It's not just about wine and bread, folks. True communion is with Christ in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It's an abiding union with Him. Yes. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. I want you to think about something. How many have had children? Okay. Some guys have had children too. But ladies, I know what you meant. I'm kidding. How many know that there is a process? Right? Yeah. The first thing that needs to happen is there needs to be intimacy. Hello?
Yeah.
There has to be a connection.
Yes.
There has to be an implantation of a seed.
Amen.
That's where it begins. There has to be germination of the seed. There has to be life. Amen? A sprout of life.
Yes.
But how many know that that seed, that child in the womb, is not officially born until it's hatched, until it comes out? I know this is a lesson in life that some of you just didn't know about, but today on Dr. Keith, yeah. Do you know why God hates abortion? And I'm not going to get off on that, but you know why?
Absolutely.
because it's life. Amen? That's being snuffed out. You see, the devil is into abortion. Do you know what the devil wants to do? I want you to hear this. Is he wants to abort people who are in the process of development so that they will not be born. They will not be birthed. He wants to shut them down, cut them off, destroy them before they're able to bear fruit. In Matthew 13, I believe it is, we read of the sower that went out to sow. Amen? The seed. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. Amen? And there are four soil types represented there. Three of them are bad soil types. One is good. One of the soil types is the seed that fell among the stones or on stony ground. And it says that the seed immediately sprung up. Jesus said it like this. It with joy received the word. Sprung up like overnight. But had no root. And so it only endured for a season. But when persecution came, when hard times came, when offenses came, immediately it was offended. Are you with me?
Yes.
And it turned away. It never came to fruition, folks. There are many who are in the place of incubation right now, who are the main target of Satan. He wants to stop the seed. He wants to stop the birth. Are you with me?
Yep.
So he's going to do everything he can to cut off life. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
While it's still in the womb or in the incubation period. Mm-hmm. Unless we abide in him, we're not going to have life flowing into our vessels that keeps us alive spiritually. If we give so much attention to our physical body, how much more do we need to be paying attention to our spiritual life? Amen? What is more important, after all? Because the part that we don't see is the eternal part. What Satan wants to do is abort you. Are you with me?
Yes.
He wants to kill you before your birth and coming to a place of fruition so that you may make Christ known in the earth. So he's going to go after especially the young ones and the babes. And folks, even sometimes the saints that have walked with God many years. He's going to seduce them away and get them preoccupied with religious or Christian activity to try to disconnect them from a vital union and a walk in the Spirit with Christ. He's constantly seeking to cut off the light, the flow of life to us. Our responsibility is to be a keeper of the flame. We are a royal priesthood. We must continue to have that flow of God's presence, His oil, into this vessel.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So that the light will continue to shine. The Bible says that we are not to quench or cut off the Spirit. That means to stop the flow of God's Spirit. Sometimes you just got to grab yourself and shake yourself out of it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Stir up the gift that's within you. Don't allow yourself to get complacent. Don't allow yourself to fall asleep. Sometimes you need to travail. You need to battle something. Amen. Because God wants to birth something in you. Hello. And the enemy's trying to snuff you out before it happens. So we must continue to feed, to drink, amen, of Him who is the fountain of living waters. That's why in this church we worship like we do, because it's about His presence. If we lose His presence, we might as well shut the door and go home.
Yeah.
And do you know, there are many churches that began in the river, in the fire of God. Hello. And little by little by little by little, they began to go out. The fire began to go out. They began to get distracted. They began to play church. And they lost Jesus in the process. What happened? To the point where they don't even like what they're doing in the church. I'm just here to take care of these little brats. Nobody else will do it. I never heard that here, but I'm sure it's happened somewhere. Without that vital union, without that continuing and abiding in Him, we will begin to wither. Jesus says that every branch that does not abide in Me will be what? Cut off. Why? Because it's a sucker branch. It's bearing no fruit. It's useless. Amen? It's not about walking around acting like Christians, folks. It's you and I being Christians.
Amen.
It's not about talking about what we should do. It's you and I getting out there and doing it. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we do here, is we do it. We're not going to just talk about it. We're going after God because He's the one who quickens us. He's the one who gives life to us. He's the one that inspires our zeal so that we can have power, amen, in Him to do things that will accomplish much for the kingdom. It's not of us. It's of Him. So we want to be lovers of His presence. We want to be people who are hungering and thirsting for Him, the living God. There are people who come, I like the music. People who come, I like the message. Some people like both. But ultimately, folks, what we need is not just music and not just another message. We need Him. We need to encounter Him in the reality of who He is, to know Him in His person. To be transformed into His image from glory to glory as we're looking into the face of Jesus Christ. The Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit. In the reality, amen?
Yes.
Not just punching a clock at the church door. Doing my obligation. As we abide in Him, folks, it also means that we are listening. He says, if you're hearing My instruction, if you're doing what I tell you to do, then you will abide in My love. I don't feel good today, so I think I'm not going to... Are you with me?
Yes.
Obey the Lord. How many people stay home from church? I'm going to get off on this one again. Because... just don't feel like it today. Rather than, Papa God, is it okay if I just stay home and sleep or whatever today? Are we really willing to listen to God's voice? Are we really willing to do what He says? What if He says, I'm saying, God, I'm really tired today. He says, I want you to go do this. Are we willing to do that? You see, it's as we listen to His instruction that we continue to abide in His love. You're cutting off the flow of the Spirit when you disconnect from listening to God's voice.
Yes.
I didn't feel like it today, so I didn't do it. I ain't get anything out of that service. I ain't going back to that church. Well, what are you bringing to the table? Did you just come to be served, or did you come to serve somebody else? What did Jesus do? We're here to serve. We're here to serve one another. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to lift you up, build you up. I'm not here for me. I'm here for you.
Yes.
When you're here for somebody else and not yourself, you'll get filled.
Yes.
When you're here to bless God, He'll bless you.
Yes.
When we worship, is it just gimme, 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 gimme? Or is it, God, I just want to bless you.
Amen.
God, I just want to see your face.
Yes.
I'm just not looking for another handout. I just want to know you. I want to love you more. I want to please you today. When we love God, when we worship Him, When we come to Him with an offering, hello, of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude to His goodness, to declare His praises, to boast on our God together, corporately. When we do that with the right attitude, how many know that's when you get your blessing? But if we're just always coming about, gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme, 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 gimme. How many love it when your kids just beg you all the time? Gimme, 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 gimme. How many like to bless your kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes if they beg you enough, you'll bless them, right? Just to shut them up. But, isn't it true that so often, that's the extent of our relationship, folks. I've been guilty of that myself. Right? It's just about constantly asking and begging and gimme and, you know, petitioning God. How many know that God wants you to know Him? He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him intimately. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to know His voice. He wants you to experience the joy of obedience. Obedience brings joy. It always brings joy. The disciples were obedient to Christ. They were persecuted. They were flogged for it. And they went away rejoicing. That they were counted worthy to receive stripes for Jesus' sake. Obedience brings joy. But if we're just feel-good people, and it's just if it feels good, great. If it doesn't, I ain't in it. You're missing out on something. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, fight the good fight. Amen? He said, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please the one who enlisted him. We're not here, amen, to please ourselves. We're here to take orders from, amen, our commander-in-chief, Papa God. Because His commandment is to love. To love one another. To love people. To love the lost. To cast the net out, amen. To pass the lifesaver to the lost. To reach the lost for Christ. We should never forget, folks, you know what? It's wonderful that we get together and that we have wonderful worship. I think we have wonderful times of worship together, and the Lord's presence is so sweet. And the Lord loves on us, and we love on Him, and we have a wonderful time together. But how many know that His heart is breaking for lost people? And folks, we need to ask ourselves today, is my heart for the lost? Do I care about that? Do I care about the things that He cares about? You see, that's really going to decide where you're at, because where your treasure, that's where your heart is. Amen?
Amen.
I think too much of the church today, we're just living in Disneyland. Come on. We're chasing after Christian entertainment. All right? That's a feel-good church over there. I'm going to go over there. But as soon as things get a little difficult, or God begins to put you through or allow that person through a time of testing, because they were just a feel-good person who kind of did the bounce around, you know, and is just looking for the party, wherever the party was, they never really got their roots down. Are you with me? That seed just kind of got blown away with the wind. And with every doctrine, every wind of doctrine and teaching that's out there, they run over here, and they run over there, and they get that, and they get that, and they're so confused, they don't know which way is up. You got to plant in the assignment that God has placed you. You need to be willing to endure some things. You're going to be willing to be misunderstood. Once in a while, somebody's going to say something that may hurt your feelings. Once in a while, something may happen that may be difficult. But the bottom line, folks, is are we going to listen to the voice of the Lord and do what He says to do? Or are we just going to go by our emotions, whatever our emotions tell us to do? Yeah. How many believe that God has called you to this assignment, to this church?
Absolutely.
Okay?
No question.
How many are just not sure yet, especially after today's message? One of the things that I have to be very careful about is trying to push a round peg into a square hole. Trying to fit somebody into, if you will, the mold that I think they should go into. It's very easy to happen, especially for ministers, you know, is that we're kind of looking at things and we're saying, well, this will go there and that'll go there and that'll go there and that would be nice over there. And what happens is if we're not careful, people will become just pawns. Are you with me? You are God's property. You're His property, His possession. As a minister, we have a great responsibility. As believers, we have great responsibility for our brothers and sisters. Because that brother, that sister belongs to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And how we treat each other, what we say about each other, is very important.
Yes.
But God has called you here. If God has called you here, then you need to be willing to make a commitment. This is something that some of you with the grayer hair in here and understanding it, you've seen how even in our society there has been such a breakdown.
Yes.
You know, of anything that's connected with being committed, to the degree where nobody even wants to get married anymore because it means a commitment. We're afraid of commitment. And you know, that thing has gotten into the church and people don't know what commitment is anymore.
Right.
Come on. There are so many gypsy Christians that are just floating around, being blown around. They're going here, they're going there. And most of the time, church growth is nothing more than somebody from another church coming into your church. That's not real growth. There are people who don't know Jesus. Amen? You know what? I'm not worried if somebody goes away and says things about me to other Christians. What I want is to reach out to people who don't know Jesus. Amen? They're not even caught up in the Christian gossip circles. They're caught up in something that's just as bad. Are you with me? They're in death. And so, we as believers need to understand our purpose, our assignment, why I am here. We've got to quit allowing the devil to push us around. And every time there's a little test or something doesn't go our way or didn't feel good that day, that we don't allow those deceptive things of the enemy to get us out of our assignment and therefore bring us into a place of vulnerability to the enemy's destruction. Because you'll see people that get offended, they go to another place and they can't find anything right about anything after a while because they're going in with a bitter root expectation that it's going to be more of the same when I go there. And they go here and they go there and they never plan anywhere. And eventually you say, what happened to them? Where are they now? And you have thousands of little nucleuses of cells of the true churches that are out there. And basically it amounts to nothing more than people who are offended hanging out together and doing their own thing. And then inviting Jesus to be a part of it. There's a difference, folks, to being led by the Lord, to being directed by the Lord, by listening to His instructions, His voice, even when it means persecution. And then doing your own thing and asking Jesus to bless it. Because I don't like those people over there. They're not as spiritual as we are. There's been a disconnect. Somehow, we've lost Jesus, you see, in all the mess, and all the confusion, and all the drama. We lose Jesus. I don't care how much people dance, jump around, put their hands up in the air, speak in tongues, folks. People are doing that, and they're still not in connection with Jesus. Jesus said it this way, their lips show much love, but their hearts are far from me. And often what is done is just to make ourselves look spiritual in the eyes of others so that we can gain a following after ourselves. Because of our own insecurities, we got to have somebody else. We have to have man validate us. So we live off the validations of people. And as long as you do that, you're going to please people. And when you please people, you cannot be the servant of Christ. And some people's interpretation of being a peacemaker is being a people pleaser. They won't confront anything. They just let it go because I'm just a peacemaker. What you're doing is you're allowing the devil to run rampant. You're allowing him into your home in some cases because you're just trying to be your buddy to your kids. Instead of being a parent, you're being a buddy. Amen. How many know our kids need the Board of Education to the seat of understanding? We need to abide in Christ. We need to be worshipers of Him in the Spirit. Amen? Worshipers of God, walking throughout our day worshiping Jesus, staying in communion, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, admonishing and loving and edifying one another. Amen?
Right.
Building one another up. And when the Lord is speaking to us, we've got to be willing to say yes. I was about to do this, God, and you're interrupting my plans. You know, you've got all kinds of freedom. You've got all kinds of liberty until Papa begins to speak to you. Now it's time to buck up and say, okay, Papa, what is it? But I wanted to do... I'm telling you to go do this. And folks, I want to say something that hopefully will be sobering enough for all of us, including myself, to take a look at. Is the more that we say, I know what you're saying, but I want to do my thing, is the more that you're actually shutting down the flow of God's Spirit. And His voice will get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And all of a sudden you're going to find yourself in a place where you're crying out and you're not hearing anything. Because in the hour and the times when He was calling on you, when He was calling out to us, you ain't got time for that. Jesus said, when I come again, will I find faith on the earth? He said, in the last days, the conditions will be such that many, many will be offended. Many will fall away. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. They will actually be doing Christian stuff, church stuff, but their hearts will be far from God. There won't be any real fire, any real love, any real passion anymore. You know what? We have an opportunity. Because you've heard this message, and because God is merciful, because God is gracious, He's telling us, He's telling me, that we need to reconnect. We need to connect like we never have before. Because of the sake of, amen, the will and the purpose of God as well for the harvest. You and I are not able to effect change. We're not able to reach the lost. We're not able to be a witness for Christ except by the power of the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. How many here are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit today?
Yes.
Folks, listen. We all need more of Him.
Yes.
I haven't arrived. You haven't arrived. We all are in this together. We're here to throw our hand out and say, come on, brother, let's go, man. Let's go after God. Let's pursue God with a passion. You need an impartation. You need the power of God in your life. Let's pray. Sometimes you need a brother to come alongside you and to pick you up when you're dried up and you're just feeling down and you can't seem to get your head up off the carpet. How many know you have a brother and a sister that's there for that purpose? Amen?
Amen.
Not to kick you while you're down, but to reach out and pick you up.
Yes.
So that backslider. Everyone's backslidden. But we're here to help each other through. We're in this together. And we are in this all the way. And we need to be abiding in the vine, Jesus Christ. We need to be listening. Because He says, if you don't, you're going to wither. It's inevitable. And you will die spiritually. That's what He said. That's what He's saying. I don't know how clear He can make it. You will die spiritually if you don't stay connected to Jesus.
Right.
Is it important to be in church? You better believe it is. Is it important to be praying? Yes, you better believe it is. Is it important to be in the Word of God? Yes. It's important, amen, to be helping each other along. If you notice somebody's not here today, give them a call.
Yes.
Check on them.
Yes.
We need to take care of each other.
Yes.
People fall through the cracks. We can't allow that to happen. Some of the young ones, folks, it's happening too often, but the young ones, they give their heart to Jesus. They get excited. They're like that seed that fell among the stony ground. It sprung up. They had a temporary zeal for God, and oh yeah! But somehow, the difficulties begin to beat against them. The distractions begin to beat against them. The enemy throws everything he can at them to get them from coming to the place of being born again. I'm talking about really born again. And to the place where they will begin to bear fruit. Those of us who have been in the Lord need to be taking care of the babes, amen? Looking out for their soul. The older women should teach the younger women. I have to limit myself talking to ladies on the phone. Are you with me? Just ask Heysook. It's not wise for a man, amen, to spend a lot of time talking on the phone to a woman. They may not understand that, but I'm saying I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to find a woman, a godly woman, a mature woman in the faith, who I can, I'll direct them to them and say, here, talk to so-and-so. They'll be able to help you. I don't ever want anybody here to feel like I'm unapproachable or that you can't call me. Please, don't feel like I'm too busy, okay? If you need to talk to me, call me. But how many have heard from the Lord today?
Yes.
How many, be honest, say, I received a word from the Lord today?
Yes.
If you didn't raise your hand to make me feel good. Okay, there it is.
I love you.
Well, I'm going to come back to this church. It didn't make me feel good. All right.